for joining us this evening. If you would stand with me as we go into our song service. Psalm 77, verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. So thankful for our God and that he does answer our prayers, that he listens to us when we call out to him. Let's go to him in prayer as we open. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your goodness. I thank you for most of all the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave for us. And Lord, we do thank you that through him we can have that eternal life and we become your children, and that you hear our prayers when we call unto you, Lord. I do pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to sing, I Am Resolved.
10,000 ways I've received it. It never runs out, it never grows cold. Just when I thought I'd reached the limit, it keeps pouring out. I'm drowning in it. It won't shut me out, it won't let me go. So I'll keep singing on and on of this grace. I'll keep
It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. If you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 32. Isaiah, chapter 32. So next Wednesday night will be the start of our missions conference. And looking forward to that, and hope you are. Hope you can be with us each night. We're going to start with Brother Marty Bush and Miss Glenda being here on Wednesday night, and then Brother Richard will preach on Thursday night. Then we'll have Brother Richard's ordination on Friday night, and then we'll have our banquet on Saturday night, and then Sunday morning, we're going to have Brother Richard do Sunday school, Brother Krotz do the Sunday morning message, and I'm going to wrap it up in the afternoon. So it's going to be a great week if you can plan to be with us. I think you'll really enjoy it, and I love to be challenged for missions. I love to be challenged for the things of Christ. Matter of fact, there's sometimes I go looking to be challenged for the cause of missions, like today. I was following a podcast that I follow quite frequently, and this guy he's playing a audio of a pastor, and the pastor is talking about the importance of reaching the world for Christ, and he goes, we tend to get bogged down in the stuff of life and living life, and something was said about all that's going on with the political situation. And he said, the cares of this world and the political situation don't affect me because my sister had her arm cut off today. And It kind of took people back. They were like, well, they knew his sister. And they go, she had her arm cut off? And he said, a sister of mine that's in Africa was abused by Muslims over there, and they cut her arm off because of her faith in Christ. And see, we tend to get so caught up in our world and our vision of the world that we forget there's Christians still suffering around the world. And they're paying with their life. They're still martyrs every year for the cause of Christ. Now, we haven't personally experienced that, especially here in America. Some of our missionaries have been threatened, and you know, we have had some concern that way. You know, there's still people that pay the ultimate price. And so we want to make sure that we don't become dead to the exciting things of God and more excited about the things of this world. Heaven help us we ever get out of kilter. It's so easy to do, you know, to get, you know, get caught up in living life and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and we get our eyes off of the importance, which is telling the lost about Jesus Christ and impacting our generation, our peers, for the Word of God. And so just a few things to be thinking about. I hope that you'll be praying and looking forward to the missions conference and with great excitement and anticipation as we head that direction. So today we're in Isaiah, or tonight we're in Isaiah 32 and 33. And the title is Isaiah's Prophecies of God's Reign Over a Restored Israel. Okay? Isaiah's Prophecies of God's Reign Over a Restored Israel. So if you found that, you can follow along. I'll begin reading chapter 32 and verse number 1. We'll pick up there. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dimmed, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue that of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak of villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Lord, we love you and we thank you for our time together this evening. We pray to God and ask that you would meet with us, that you might be honored and glorified through the preaching and teaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just use your word in our lives to mold us to be more like you. Help us to have a vision of what Isaiah is trying to proclaim to the people, and help us to keep our eyes off of the world and off of our concerns. Help us be focused upon those things that you feel is important for the day and age in which we live. Help us to keep our eyes focused upon you and be willing to live for you in all that we do. We love you, and we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. And all the people said, amen. So we're thinking about Isaiah 32 and 33, and I'll be honest with you, these are fairly long chapters, and they would take us a long time. Probably it'd take us 20, 30 minutes just to read them both. So we're not going to read them both, okay? This is going to be a little homework for you. If you want to get the full gist of it, you need to go home and read it. I'm going to give you some note-taking stuff, things to jot down, some scriptures to be read. And so you can do that, and so that's going to be your homework for tonight, okay? And so we've got 2 points. Boy, I love it when a preacher says he's got 2 points. Don't get too excited because we've got a lot of verses, okay? So we've got 2 points. The first one is this, Israel's future. Israel's future. And then if you want to put a hyphen or a hash, the wonders, okay? Israel's future, the wonders. And this is going to entail Isaiah 32, 1 through 8, which we just read, verses 15 through 20 of the same chapter, and then chapter 33, verses 16 through 24. Okay? So Israel's future, the wonders, chapter 32, 1 through 8, chapter 32, 15 through 20, chapter 33, 16 through 24. And here the prophet speaks of the millennium. Now, I like to know about the millennium. We believe in a premillennial reign of Christ. Christ is going to come and reign here on this earth during the millennial time. And we who are saved are going to come back and rule and reign with him. Boy, that's going to be exciting as we come back to this earth and help rule and reign for the cause of Christ. And so here, this is going to give us a window or a picture or a look into Israel's future and the things that will happen during that time. So the first thing we notice, letter A, is the ministry of the Son of God. The ministry of the Son of God. Then we use verses 1 through 8 and verses 16 through 24 as we think about this ministry of the Son of God. The Messiah himself will appear in all his glory and beauty to accomplish a fivefold ministry, okay? It's five things that he's going to accomplish while he's here upon this earth during the millennial time. Remember, that's a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And he's going to appear in all of his glory and all of his beauty. He'll set up a kingdom. He'll rule and reign. And during that time, there's fivefold ministry that he's going to have. First of all, is to reign as earth's righteous king. This earth has never seen a king like King Jesus. He's going to come. He's going to be a righteous king. He's not going to be swayed by those around him. He's not going to be swayed by wealth. He's not going to be swayed by fame. He's not going to be swayed by anything. He's going to be an honest, righteous king. And he will rule rightly and correctly. And honest princes will rule under him. That'll be us. We who know Christ as our Savior will come back to rule and reign with him. Second thing is he's going to restore and regenerate Israel. He's going to restore and regenerate Israel. Chapter 32, verses 2 through 4. Under number one, it was 32, verse 1. But he's going to restore and regenerate Israel. Everyone will look to God and will listen to him. Everyone's going to have to pay attention, okay? Because God's ruling and reigning. They're going to have the opportunity to know right and wrong. They're going to have the opportunity to do right and wrong. And everyone will pay attention as he comes to restore and regenerate Israel. And it's not going to be like when he left here, being born of a virgin and then crucified, and they're still looking for their Messiah. They're going to know he is the Messiah. The third thing that's going to happen is he's going to right all wrongs. He's going to right all wrongs. Chapter 32, 5 through 8. The ungodly will be exposed, but generous people will be blessed for all they do. Man, I wish we could see the ungodly exposed today. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I just don't want to get too political, but I just think something was amuck in the last election. That's not going to stand under Jesus' reign, amen? He's going to right all wrongs. He's going to make everything right. He's going to set the standard of rightness and expect righteousness from all people. The fourth thing is to meet the needs of all people. Chapter 33 and verse number 16. To meet the needs of all people, they will have a fortress, food and water. Isn't it good to know that Jesus Christ is our fortress? He's the one we can run to in our time of need, in our time of defense, in our time of needing food or water spiritually. He is there to quench our thirst, to meet our need spiritually. He is there to take care of the needs that his people have. Well, here under the millennial reign, he's going to meet all the needs of his people, and he will be their fortress, their food and water. And the fifth thing is to usher in universal peace. Boy, that's something that man has wanted for generations. Peace, peace, peace. I remember back in 68, my brother got drafted. In 69, I can remember watching TV, and we were very involved in Vietnam at that time, and there would be reports about the carpet bombing efforts and where they were bombing, and there would be reports about soldiers that had died, how many had died, how many had been captured. All this was very forefront in 69, 70, in that era. I can still remember Christmas of that year, 69. They had a ceasefire for Christmas. I always thought that was nice. That they'd have a ceasefire, no one's going to fire a gun, we're going to celebrate Christmas, then we're going back to kill each other. Just doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? I can remember 69 doing that. 70, 71, it seemed like there began to be this really big push for peace, and I remember them talking about peace and the importance of peace, and, you know, it's been on the mind of mankind forever. Peace. Wouldn't it be great if we could live in peace? And now that we have the ruling party, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice if I could just live in peace? You leave me alone. And, you know, all the money that he spent, it's going to take all of our money and then some just to pay the way he's given it away. You'd think we were made of money. And I know they'll print a bunch more money, but eventually they're going to spend all of Bob's money, and I don't have any money, and so the nation's going to go broke eventually. But, you know, we don't have to worry about that when God reigns, amen? We will know what real peace is. And it's not programs, and it's not equality. Someone shared with me tonight that there's a bill that's going to be voted on for equality, where they're basically doing away with all gender identifications. And bathrooms all just be open. And, of course, girls' sports is shot anyhow. You know, guys participate in that. But to me, that's the sissy guys that's, you know, playing those sports. That's the way it was when I was a kid, and I ain't going to change my mind. Okay? Not going to change my mind. Sissy boys playing over there in a girls' sport. Shame on you. And, but you know, they're doing all this. They think it's going to make the world better. It's not. It's not going to make the world better. It's not going to bring peace. It's not going to bring happiness. It's not going to bring contentment. And when everybody's broke and they broke everything that they could break, it still will not bring universal peace. But the Lord will bring universal peace. Man, you just read some of the verses that talk about the millennial reign of Christ and the lamb and the lion lay down together. The weapons of warfare are beat into instruments to farm with and to take care of those kind of things. Now, that would be the kind of gun control I would be in favor of. Peace. But it ain't going to happen until Jesus' millennial reign. Until then, I think I'll just keep my guns, okay? Five things. B is the ministry of the Spirit of God. Aren't you thankful for the Spirit of God? Man, I am. He works me over so much, but I'm so thankful that he loves me enough to work me over. I mean, if I got to where the Holy Spirit wasn't working on me, I would be worried about, A, I'm not saved, although I know from past experience that I am saved because he beat me up. B, that there's too much sin in my life blocking the Holy Spirit from being able to work in my life. It's one or the other. You're either not saved, or you're so far down the tubes in sin that he's not able to work. Listen, if the Holy Spirit quits working in your life, you need to get on your knees and say, God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? We need the ministry of the Spirit of God to anoint the people of God. Verse 15 of chapter 32, the Spirit willfully will be poured down from heaven upon all the nations at that time, and to bring about worldwide justice. Boy, there's another key word of the day, justice. Bring about worldwide justice in chapter 32, 16 and 17. The righteousness of God will bring peace, justice, righteousness. There will be an abundance of crops under the rule and reign of Christ, chapter 32, 18 through 20. Wherever the people plant seed, they will have bountiful crops. God's hand of blessing will be moving upon the people because the Holy Spirit and the rightness of God will be among the people, and the Holy Spirit will be moving, and just about everything man puts his hand to will see the blessing of God. There'll be peace. There'll be justice. Everything will be awesome. It'll be like the ultimate utopia. So I grew up on the fringe of the hippie movement. And the hippies, they were like, hey, man, our goal, dude, is that we're just going to live in peace, man. We're going to smoke some dope and we're just going to enjoy life. I'm telling you, that's the way they operated. I still remember, some of you probably remember, I think it was Kent State, the soldiers standing there with their rifles and the hippies up there putting flowers in the barrels of the guns. You know, we want peace, man. Lay your weapons down, man. Yeah, you go lay your weapons down, someone will break in your house and kill you and rob you and all kinds of stuff. But under the millennial reign of Christ, they will know perfect peace. They will know perfect peace. It'll be the most awesome thing ever. So the second thing we see is Israel's presence. And this is the warnings, okay? So we had Israel's future and the wonders. And number two is Israel's presence and the warnings. And so I told you we have 2 points, so we're on the last one. That'll make you pretty happy. And as we think about the warnings, we look at chapter 32, verses 9 through 14, and chapter 33, verses 1 through 15. Here the prophet speaks concerning his own day. He's warning the people where they are at that time. Isaiah is speaking out. He's warning the people. He says, look, listen, pay attention. And the first thing that he warns about is he warns the women of Israel in chapter 32, verses 9 through 14. And he warns them this way. First of all, he says, hear God's word, verses 9 and 10. The harvest will not take place because they have been lazy. Then he says, heed God's word, verses 11 through 14. Their land will be overgrown and their homes will be gone. And so he's warning the women of Israel. He says, you need to hear God's word. You need to heed God's word. You need to pay attention. And I'm sure that we could say the men of Israel the same. They need to hear it. They need to heed it. And I would say for us today, we still need to hear God's word. We still need to heed God's word. This should be a part of our life where, you know, we'll have to admit that we're living in those latter days, the days right before Jesus Christ comes to call us forth and call us home. And I don't want to be on the slide. I don't want to be in that group that, Jesus is coming sometime. I just don't know when. And, you know, I'm so distracted with this world. And I'm so distracted with stuff. And I'm so curious about this. And I'm so allured by that I fail to be looking for his soon return. I fail to be concerned about the lost around me. I don't take time to plant the seed to tell others about Jesus Christ because I'm so worried about me, where I am in this world, rather than the fact that Jesus is coming soon. I don't want to fail him. I don't want to be at the part where I fail. I want to be faithful to him. I want to serve him well. And so, B, he warns the women of Israel, and A, B, he warns the warriors of Assyria. And this is chapter 33, 1 through 15. Judah will be threatened and terrified by the advancing Assyrian troops. They're going to be terrified by them. The warriors are coming against them. The warriors of even now, the warriors of this world and the cares of this world coming against Christianity. But at this time, in Isaiah's time, the warriors from Assyria were coming against Judah and threatening them and terrifying them by the advancing of their troops. And the first thing we see is the prayer of deliverance. Chapter 33, verses 2 through 4. Judah wants to be rescued from the Assyrian domination. I think it's so important. I really appreciate in the couples retreat about praying specifically. You know, I'd kind of fallen into that group of just praying generically. Well, God will bless the missionaries. Well, that's great. I mean, that sounds good. But what do the missionaries need? Well, Richard needs to get churches. Richard needs to get money so he can get to the field. Give Richard the boldness to sit down and call. And give Leslie what she needs to raise little Abigail. You know, pray specifically. And so we need to be praying specifically. Here are the people, they were praying for deliverance. Judah wanted to be rescued. The Assyrian army and the Assyrian domination was coming. We could look at our world today and we could say, God, deliver us from the wickedness of this world. Deliver us from the liberal politicians who would seek to lead our country contrary to the word of God. Lord, let this bill of equality fail. We need to be praying for our country. And if there's ever been a time that we need to pray specifically, it's now. It's now. The promise of deliverance. Chapter 33, verse 1. Chapter 33, verses 5 through 15. The promise of deliverance. The Assyrian destroyers will be destroyed themselves. They have never felt destruction, but they will be betrayed and destroyed. Man, what a great promise. They're going to be destroyed. I love reading the stories in the Old Testament about the battles. Do you like? I don't care for Leviticus. I really don't care for Numbers. Okay? But you get me into Joshua and Judges and Samuels and the Kings. Chronicles a little weak, but you get me in there talking about the reading about the battles. Man, my imagination's going crazy, and I love those battles where the children of Israel do nothing. Hallelujah! I love those stories. You know about the army's going to come, going to wipe them out, and so they went and prayed, and God showed up and did all the work, and all the people were dead in front of them, or all the people were gone, and they left all their stuff as all the people in the castle were city there were getting ready to die. All the people left. They had everything, all the bounty, and they even killed themselves as they were leaving. They're like, yes. Can I just tell you this, that same God of those Old Testament stories still our God today? He hadn't changed. If he's changed, I'm quitting. Because I need that God. There's times when my back gets so far against the wall, I got to have that God. He's got to work on my behalf. I've done what I can do. I've used my wisdom as far as it'll go. And I can't go nowhere else myself. God, you got to do it. You know, I think God wants us to pray more like that than we've ever prayed, especially in these days in which we live. God, I can't do it, but you can. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, I need you. Miss Leslie, I love you very much, honey. But I'm just going to tell you, hopefully in just a year and a half, 2 years, your husband's going to have done his job well. And you're going to be getting on a plane. You're going to be flying to some place you've never been. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be lonely. Just remember, he'll never fail you. He's helped missionaries before you. He'll be there to be your friend at that time, and that help that you need, he'll be there. He loves you too much to leave you. Cares too much for you. He loves you too much to hurt you. Now we in our own emotions, if we're not careful, we feel hurt. And we feel God has forgotten us and God has left us. But he's never done that. And so as I read about the victories in the Old Testament, where a lot of people go, can't wait till I'm through the Old Testament so I can get to the New Testament. Hey, don't get in such a hurry, man. Good stuff there. A lot of good stuff. Love to see the hand of God come down and go squish them like a bug. I love that kind of stuff. He's a great God of deliverance. And he's given his people a promise of deliverance. And he said the Assyrian destroyers will be destroyed themselves, and they'll have never felt destruction, but they will be betrayed and destroyed. And then a little bee there's the Assyrian armies will be cut down like thorns and burned. And God will show his power and his might against the Assyrians. I just challenge you with this thought. I think God's looking for some people today that he can pull down the powers of the ungodly, the powers of darkness. He's looking for some sold-out Christians that will stand and say, yes, this is the Word of God. I'm going to build my life on this book. I'm going to live my life by this book. I'm going to give my all for this book. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to live for him no matter what it costs. That's what he's looking for. Will you do it? I haven't read of one failure in here yet of God. His people fail him all the time. He never fails his people. Lord Jesus, I love you tonight, and I thank you so much for your word. I pray to God that you would take this message and use it in our lives and our hearts to bring us closer to you, that we might be more like you, that we would impact this world in which we live for the cause of Jesus, that lost souls might even be saved here in these last days, that we might make a real impact for the cause of Christ. We'd see a great revival begin to spread across America, and a great revival continue around the world as we're looking into the last days before you come to call us home. Help us to be faithful. Help us to not become satisfied. Help us to be stirred up, to have that love and that desire in our heart to see the lost saved at any cost. And we love you, Lord, and we ask these things in your blessed name. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? We're going to sing 277, Only Trust Him. God's spoken to your heart. Encourage you to come tonight, whatever your need. Brother Charlie, if you would. Just a moment. We're going to have Brother Richard come with our prayer request. I would ask that you pray for my grandson Noah is in Brazil having a great time, but I was visiting with Jeremiah, and he said homesickness is starting to set in. Well, that's okay, you know, get a little homesick, but just pray God, we continue to use him. We've seen video of him preaching and singing and all that over there, so we're sure happy about how that God's using them there. But if you'd remember to pray for Noah, I'd appreciate it. And then, are we offline?